Right, got a nice showbiz introduction. And so, in fact, my guest looks so young. I feel like, I don't know, like your mother.
I'm definitely 30, though. Just oil of Ulay twice a day, you know.
How old are you? You just look so young. And I'm joined in the studio, and I did pronounce his name wrong. As you know, I normally do things wrong. And it's Tom Paynton.
That's good. Like it.
Thank you. I'll try and get that right, correct. If you do want to find out more as we're having a little chat, it's all the W's, tpacproductions.com. And Tom is here to talk about the movie Pandorica, The Future Reset.
I like that. Good description.
So, as I said, you look incredibly young, and you've been making and involved in films, because I thought maybe this was your first one, just judging as you can.
This is actually my first feature film, but I've been making films for 10 years now. Like I said, I'm actually 30, just good skin routine.
Yes.
But yeah, I've been making films for 10 years now, run a production company, and then in the last few years, I've got involved with feature films, and this was the second script I ever wrote, but the first film that's actually gone into production and is set for release this April.
Now, before we talk more about that, Benefits, now I am actually wearing the mascara. I love Benefits. They're fantastic. But you've done work for Thomas Cook, Benefits. You've also done videos for Artful Dodger and Disclosure as well.
Yeah.
Do you actually go through and say, this is how we're going to shoot it, or do they give you a brief? How's it work?
Do you know what? Every job is different. I think that's what I love about film as an occupation. There's never... no 2 days are ever the same, really. But when you're putting together, say, a music video, for instance, sometimes the artist really knows how they want to be seen, and sometimes they're just completely open book and they let you pitch what you want. And I've made some truly bonkers music videos, which is good. But from a product perspective, when you're dealing with things like Benefit Cosmetics, you know, they're a number one selling makeup company in the UK, so things are a little bit more controlled. They know what they want, they know what their brand looks like, and it's really your job as a filmmaker to reflect that for them. But yeah, I've got some great clients, and I've been to some great countries and shot some great stuff. So,
well, I know your life just sounds like, that's what I said off air. I was saying to you, I'm going to tell people that I'm a filmmaker, because it just makes you sound really interesting.
There's a lot. It's a bit like being a radio presenter, to be honest. There's a lot of sitting in a dark room looking at a computer screen. So.
Exactly. Don't tell them the secrets. If we talk about the film, it's got The Future Reset, A Leader Is Chosen, the trailer for the film.
Yeah.
On YouTube, you've got some fantastic shots.
Okay, so I mean, the film itself is it's post-apocalyptic. So it's got when I was set out to write, I'm a massive John Carpenter fan, and I really wanted to make a film that kind of took elements of those nostalgic 80s films, but made them feel contemporary and fresh. And so Pandorica basically came about for a love of other films, really, that I've got, and I wanted to make a film that I would like to see. It's set in a post-apocalyptic world where technology is now gone. People are sort of living very much like Vikings, and they're back in tribes. And the whole film centres around the leadership trials of a tribe called the Verosha. They start training their kids from a very early age to be the leader, and the current leader then takes them off, and they do one last trial, and they pick the new leader from how that trial turns out. Mm. So the whole film basically centres around that final trial, and suffice to say, lots of stuff happens, and another tribe gets involved, and all hell breaks loose by the end of it. So
how long after is it set? Is it set like 100 years after everything's sort of...
I've been very unspecific. The film says generations have passed, but yeah. You know, I in my head, it's been about 150 years since the world ended, and I was fascinated by the idea that if the world did come to an end as we know it now, there's all these little pockets of people that live out in the Hebrides and places like that, and they would probably be the only people that made it out alive. So what would happen to their descendants, if you will? And that's really where the film kicks off. But there's a really big expanded universe there, and lots of plans for prequels and sequels and so on. So I think it's an interesting world for people to dive into, and I kind of just chuck you in at the deep end as the audience, and you kind of play catch up and get involved in this mythology as we go along.
I think it's one of those things. I do actually think about this quite a lot. If civilization just suddenly stopped, I would be the first one to get slaughtered.
Oh, I'd be a goner.
Because but I can do radio. Get out of it. Because you'd have to be fit to, because you have to be fit to survive. Otherwise, that's it.
Look, I'm a director by trade, so I'm really good at telling people what I want. But if I was on my own, I think I'd be in trouble. And I think anybody that's worked on my crew would tell you, he's really good at saying what he wants, not so good at doing it.
Mm. So is there no technology in this? They haven't got any technology?
No,
guns?
Yeah, there's quite a big spoiler midpoint, which I won't give away, but technology does play a part in the movie, and it's actually part of what the film is called Pandorica, because of obviously Pandora's box, and the Roman version of that, was a puzzle box that when you open, it had something inside. So the mystery of the film revolves around this box that enters midpoint of the movie and what's inside it. And I won't give away any more, but it's pretty interesting. So
also where the film was shot.
Okay, so the film, we shot 3 days in the Lake District. So that's where we got these great sort of Lord of the Rings style mountain shots that you see in the trailer. But the bulk of the film was shot in Billericay, actually. Mm. So local, we got a fantastic location on a site called Skirmish. It's like 160-acre woods, and the location was fantastic. We couldn't have asked for a better spot. And yeah, I'm proud to say the film was shot here, but it looks like it was shot in Hollywood.
Because when you watch the trailer, the overhead shot, he's got in a helicopter. that's a good. I would have taken a few mates up with me.
Stuff shot with a camera drone. I mean, the film itself put, and this is probably really boring to most viewers, but from a technological perspective, we pushed all the boundaries. You know, a few years ago, a film like this that looked like this wouldn't have been possible. And with the modern technology that we've got and we've had access to, we shot in extreme low light. We used camera drones. You know, we really pushed the boundaries of what is capable with film. And, you know, I'm excited about those kinds of possibilities. The film is actually being sold from a new sales and distribution company called The Film Label, which I set up with Nick Sadler and George Burr. And the idea is to utilise new technology, democratise film. Because as you know, I mean, as a musician yourself, music and the other art forms have always been open to anyone. If you can sing and you can pick up a guitar, you can really get, you can express yourself in the art. But film has sort of been the playground of the rich. Recently, with things like smartphones and the increase in camera technology, it's been democratised, and anybody that wants to tell a story visually can, and that's what the film label's there to support, and Pandorica is really the proof of that, really.
How do you actually go from everything you've had in your head for this film, how do you actually write it? How do you start?
Do you know what? It is a bizarre process. I mean, first of all, you know, I'll say to my wife, oh, I've had this idea, and she'll think I'm crazy, as you do. And really, from there, you just sort of, for me, the process for me is quite simple. I'll line out what I think the story should be, but there won't necessarily be any characters at that point. And then I'll go off and I'll write the characters, and instead of concentrating on the story, I'll just think, what makes a person interesting? What's their backstory? And then I'll come back and apply those to this beat sheet that I'd written, and sometimes it changes the story, or sometimes the story changes the characters, and they kind of eventually end up marrying each other. But Pandorica as a script took me just 3 weeks from start to finish, and you know, we even created a language that's specific for the characters in the film. And
so you are a massive fan, obviously, of sci-fi. I love my sci-fi.
Yeah, I am a massive sci-fi.
So
fan.
Can you speak any Klingon? I'm just going to ask.
I can't speak any Klingon. I think if I was going to learn a language, I'd go for Dothraki from Game of Thrones, just because it's very in fashion right now, right? Mm-hmm. So, I do speak Verotian now, since I wrote it. So, which is you know,
and what can you say?
It's all swear words, so probably not for radio.
Well, nobody would have known. You could have said good morning, exactly, and just insult a few people. Tell us about some of the key roles in the film.
Okay, so I mean, the film is the cast is actually relatively small, and that was done intentionally because I really wanted you to be immersed in this mythology without throwing too much at you. I think for me, one of the biggest mistakes that science fiction tries to make when they're introducing an audience to a film is too many characters. And the successful sci-fi films like Star Wars, they don't throw tons of characters at you, follow one person's journey. And we really tried to sort of replicate that with what we were doing here. So there's only 8 cast members in the whole film. For the first half, we really concentrate on just these 4 core characters. And casting wise you know, it was an interesting process because, again, I was trying to use the sort of modern technology available to make sure people know the film existed. So we cast Mark Zammit, who's got 200,000 Twitter followers, and he's a great up-and-coming actor. Yep. So he had a lot of social reach, and he was perfect for the part, so he kind of fell into place quickly. We've got Adam Bond playing a character called Fade, and he's currently playing Jesus on CNN in America, so he's got quite a nice little following. We've got Bentley Kalu from Avengers Age of Ultron and Edge of Tomorrow, so he's my kind of sort of Hollywood star, but he was just a fantastic presence to have on set, and I think he really brought confidence. But the lead character is played by a girl called Jade Phoenix Hobday, and she's this is actually her first acting role. She's quite a well-known model. She's done very well on the scene, and we used her photo in the mood board when we were writing the story. So when we began casting, we see hundreds of different girls coming for the part, and none of them felt quite right because they didn't look like her. Yeah. And then in the end, we thought, well, we'll just reach out to her and see if she can act. She came in and she completely blew us away. And I think that she's going to be a real star. And I think the film shows off what she's capable of.
Now, do you actually appear, because obviously you are the director, do you appear in any of the scenes in the background?
No.
Because I would do that straight away in every single film. I think you need to do that. Really, yeah, you shouldn't walk on part.
Just dressed as a tree, just standing in the background, see if anybody
who
knows.
Who is that in the background? He's not in the film. Is it not something you never want to do? Have you got your own little signature?
I think, to be honest, I've got a face for radio.
You have got a lovely face.
No, do you know what? Honestly, I've never had a desire to really put myself on the other side of the camera. As you can tell, I'm not overly shy, so I don't mind doing interviews and stuff like that. But no, there's no Hitchcock desire to sneak myself into my films, I don't think.
Not yet,
maybe, we'll see.
You've got the trailer, which you can go and find on YouTube and via your website,
to pandoricamovie.com, and you'll be able to sign up and get the newsletter as well, which is probably the best place to visit for info. But the film's official UK release, this is a bit of a exclusive for you, press release goes out this week, but we release in the UK on the 1st of April, and you'll be able to catch us in theatres and on VOD, so, you know, video on demand. Just go to the website, all the links will be there. But we're doing a little tour in March. We're at the Comic Con events in Liverpool and the NEC, which I'm really excited about, because I am a sci-fi geek at heart, and for me, I was never interested in touring the film festivals with it. I wanted to take it direct to the fans. And we're also at Sci-Fi Weekender in Wales, which I believe is sold out, 6,000 people, and they're getting a full exclusive screening of the film, so nervous and excited at the same time about that one. So it's around and about in March. There'll be some exclusive events, like I said, if you sign up to the website pandoricamovie.com, and we'll be able to give out information and details about those events.
Can I just ask, we're in a world at the moment where we've got a lot of unrest, it's a weird time at the moment. Is there any religion in this film? Have you Is there?
Yeah. I'm personally an atheist. Yeah. I'm not a religious person myself. But I do find the idea that we, as human beings, create religion as a way to comfort ourselves. And it seemed like I think it would seem wrong to create this mythology in this world that's evolved without them sort of springing their own religion up around it. And it's kind of logical. It's based in events that have happened here. And everything from the film, we kind of took things that are happening in today's world, and so I kind of imagined what would happen to it if it became legend, like Robin Hood. You know, did he really run around in green tights? I doubt it. And so we kind of took today's events and things like today's horror films, and we kind of extrapolated those and said, oh, what would happen if people were telling stories about them around a campfire 150 years from now? So there's a lot of interesting world building going on, but the religion is part of that. But personally, no, I'm not religious.
No, really.
You know, I find faith a fascinating thing, and from a writing perspective, why people believe certain things is always an interesting thing to dig into. And you know, the characters in the film, some of them are very, you know, they really believe what they've been taught, and I think that's a fascinating thing to write. So,
they still got all the, if they have any sort of books, have they still got that kind of any, or is it just they've just haven't got anything? They've only got from their previous generation.
They've got stories handed down. Yeah, that's the basic plot line of it. And the place that they visit for the trial in the film is, I won't give it again. It's spoiler territory, but it's directly tied to their past and where they come from, and so is the religion and the culture, the language that they speak. The characters are bilingual. The film's mostly in English, but there's the odd bilingual moment. And I really wanted to do that because I felt it was important to give them their own weight and their own reality. You know, if 150 years went by, there would be new words that we're not accustomed to today. So there's lots of interesting stuff, and I think that the genre crowd, the sci-fi crowd, will really, really get into the world that we've crafted and built, and to hopefully be hungry to see more.
And you said if you do a sequel or a prequel,
you're obviously going to be in it, Michelle.
Just on the radio, it's probably get chopped to pieces by something. But if you're whereabouts, I said you're obviously going to shoot that in the Caribbean.
Just somewhere really hot so I can spend my time on the beach. No, do you know what? Honestly, I really enjoyed shooting this film in the UK because we've just got such a great film industry here, and there's just so much talent.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, we've, you know, democratising the film industry, and it's opened the doors to people that, you know, if you go back 5 years, you really, you know, you kind of had to know someone who was already in the industry to get that break. But now with things like YouTube and Vimeo and even Vine, where people are making like 5 second videos, there's some immense talent out there. And I think the joy of shooting in the UK is giving those people that opportunity. You know, I mean, I myself am self-taught. I haven't got a degree. You know, I learned everything I know about film from YouTube. And really, really, I feel like Pandorica as a movie is the proof to all those people that, look, you can go out and you can make a movie that rivals Hollywood-looking movies, and you don't need that Hollywood budget anymore. So, yeah, I think for me, sequel wise, I'd probably stick to shooting in the UK. And, you know, we try to open some doors and get some new, fresh talent through as well, and hopefully promote them and encourage them to make their own films as well.
And that is a really good thing, because I thought you were going to say you've been.
No.
I've been to university, I've got my degree in filmmaking. Sometimes we are pushing, especially young people, towards you've got to get a degree, but you don't have to, even in these day and age. You can still do.
I think passion is the most important thing. And from an artistic perspective, I think when it comes to film, again, it used to be the rich guy's playground.
Yeah.
And now that the ability to get your hands on things like a 4K smartphone that can shoot incredible images, and all you need to do is download a £2.49 app. I mean, that stuff is available. And if somebody wants to be a pencil sketch artist or a musician, no one encourages them to shuffle off to university for those arts.
Yeah.
Because they're just intrinsically good at them. And I think film, for me, very much sits in that category. You're either good at it or you're not. And I think learning the technicalities and the skill level is important, and university can give you that. But when you teach yourself and you throw yourself into the deep end like I did, and realistically, when I started production company at the age of 20, it was a case of, I need to make money now before my parents say you need to go and get a real job.
Yeah.
So you kind of get invested, and you learn how to edit, and you learn how to film, and you take all those elements that you would get from university, and you try and learn them as fast as possible, and it makes you a genuine all-rounder. And I think it's great now that people can go out and tell stories visually and put them on YouTube and find an audience, and they don't need to have spent £3,000 a term to do that anymore.
Now, tell us about the music, because we mustn't forget about the most important, the musicians.
Musically, you know what, music's very important to me, and I think from a score perspective, we wanted that John Carpenter vibe, but for it to be contemporary, you know. And I work with these guys, Maxim and Steve, quite a lot, and they're doing a great job on the sound. We've got music from the Prototypes coming in as well, who are one of Mixmag's top 10 artists to watch. So, you know, all round, we've got a really great music package. Nick Sadler, my partner at Film Label, he's a record label boss by trade. So he's putting together a compilation album that will come out alongside it, music that's inspired by the film. So musically, yeah, we're really excited about what people are going to hear. And there's some interesting tie-ins with some great YouTube channels on the horizon. So I think musically, we've got the edge over a lot of the lower budget movies, because that's something that people struggle with. And I think that sound is the most important thing about film. You can forgive a rubbish picture if the sound is great, like Paranormal Activity, for instance. You know, it's just a camcorder, but the sound is awesome. Mm. But you won't forgive a beautiful image with rubbish sound. So I think that's the one thing filmmakers should really focus on, is music and sound, and making sure that all that's mixed correctly.
And did a guitar make it through to the
Did a guitar thing? Make it
I
through?
I just want to know if would it be worth me travelling forward in time if we had as long as you
know, so. I think there probably is some guitars lying around. I think, do you know what? I think if you look back at history, music is we've kept reinventing the same instruments over and over, and different cultures that had nothing to do with each other all came up with the same looking thing. So yeah, I think that there's definitely some rock bands floating around in the future, hopefully.
What actor and actress would you really love to work with in the future?
Yeah, that's a tough one, because there's some incredible actors out there. And do you know what? I think working in the industry that I work in, I've also come across some amazing actors that don't get the shot.
Yeah.
You know, in this film, we've got a chap called Luke De Silva, and I've worked with him. I've known him for 10 years. I've worked with him on dozens of music videos and adverts, and the one character that he plays, Nussar, I wrote it for him. Because he's such a fantastic actor, I just wanted him to shine and get the opportunity he deserves. So I think, I'd love to work with some of the big Hollywood names, at the same time, I'm also really invested in finding new talent and promoting them and bringing them through. So vague answer, I know, but there you go.
What's the simplest way to start doing it? Would you do a short 5-minute thing? How did you get the first sort of film out there?
Do you know, honestly, there is no wrong or right answer to that, truthfully. I mean, a lot of people always said to me, you've got to make a short film first, and I didn't. I've made commercials and music videos, and then I went for the feature film, you know, and there's a lot of scaremongering in the film industry, and the reason for that is there's a lot of jobs on the line, truthfully. Yeah. There's a lot of people whose careers depend on these young kids not cottoning on that actually the playing field has been levelled for them. So I would say, if you're out there and you want to be a filmmaker and you've got that desire to tell a story, don't let anything hold you back. Like, the key is to look at what you've got and make use of it. If all you've got is an iPhone, and you know, and your other half has an iPhone, I mean, there's truthfully a way to make a film where you can even do all the sound on the iPhones too. Just download a record app, stick it in the back pocket, use the lapel microphone that comes on the headphones, and tuck it in their dress, and boom, everybody's mic'd up.
Yeah.
So there's lots of ways of doing it. I think the true reality of making films these days is, look at what you've got, look at what you can afford to spend, and come up with something that matches that. If you've got the money for a feature film, go and do a feature film. Don't let anybody hold you back. But if you haven't, but you've got a bunch of mates that can help out, do a short. But just whatever you do, go do something. If you want to, if you think you've got it and you think that you can do it, go prove it, because nothing's holding you back
can
anymore.
Can you hear those people screaming? I thought they were from the film then. Can
I think it's
it?
My fans outside, right? Hopefully.
Well, hopefully there's so much people out there. I'll give a bit of a smile. Thank you very much, Tom. Don't forget, if you do want to check it out, you can go to Twitter, Pandorica Movie as well.
Yeah, pandoricamovie.com. Just want to give a little shout out to Mirror Productions as well, that with the production company on the film. And yeah, just sign up and we'll get you all the details out. And I hope to see you all in cinemas or on VOD in April.